Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. It is a beautiful day in downtown Cleveland, autumnal paradise. The Browns still stink, but we got end-of-season press conferences for the Gardos. Oh, yeah, there is still football going on, as we saw with Baker and the Ravens last night. A pretty darn good game, all things considered. But we got to deal with what's going on at home with the Cleveland Browns. And we're going to bring on a NFL analytics experts to explain the Browns' path forward, including the situation with Deshaun Watson, the injury, and maybe a salary cap saving for the Cleveland Browns here. So we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome in ESPN sports analytics writer Seth Walder. Seth, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. I will admit, I'm not a cap guy. I can barely balance my checkbook. So can you explain how the Browns can the cap situation with Deshaun this year, given the season-ending injury?
There's a lot of uncertainty here, but my colleague, Kalen Kaler, wrote this great story earlier this year about a phenomenon in the NFL that I honestly had no idea about, but is a thing, which is insurance loophole. So the idea is basically teams can take out insurance on players, and if they suffer an injury and they lose, say, a large percentage of their of the time, that the team can receive an insurance payout, right, like you would for any other insurance. And the key to this, the reason why it's a loophole, is when you pay the premium, that doesn't come out of the salary cap. However, if you receive payment for the insurance, then that can be used as cap relief. And that doesn't make any sense, but it is apparently how it works. And that could be significant for Watson. In Kalen's story, she noted that the Browns did have insurance on Deshaun Watson. Now, there is a huge amount of uncertainty here because, unless it's come out and I haven't seen it, I don't think we know the exact terms, right? Is this like a prorated thing? Did he have to play a certain number of games or snaps to receive how much relief? We don't know that. But I think given where we are in the season and that we know that the Browns had some insurance on him, it does seem likely that the Browns probably will get some relief here for Watson's injury.
And it's just for next year. Is that right, Seth?
I think so. I mean, I think that's sort of my understanding. I think it operates in sort of same way that like a not likely to be earned incentive does. But again, I'm not entirely sure. And I think it all comes down to the terms of the deal.
Seth, I got to be honest with you, because your Twitter is always so great here. You almost caused me to drive off the road last night when I saw the "Should the Cowboys trade for Nick Chubb?" tweet. You were just joking around, right? Like, I've already lost enough this season so far.
Well, it's because you don't want to lose Nick Chubb. I mean, isn't he a 28-year-old running back in the last year of his career on a non-contender? Like, I don't know, that's like a... Like, if we put it aside, what he means to the team and maybe the injury and everything, I mean, like, that's like kind of the prime candidate to get traded in a vacuum, isn't it?
Yeah, you're speaking with logic. I think I'm speaking in emotion, though, sir.
I will tell you that based on the reaction I got from that tweet, I don't think you were alone amongst Browns fans there.
Well, Seth, what kind of package would Nick Chubb get? If we're going to do this, let's go down this road. Is that a third? Is that a fourth? I'm just, because we're already talking about trying to trade Miles. We might as well see what everyone can get.
This is always such a hard game, and it's why when I do fake trades, you know, I usually try and ask folks. But no, I don't think you're getting a third. I think you're getting a fourth for Nick Chubb. The Browns are in fairly tight cap situation over the long term, so I'm not sure they're going to be huge free agent spenders, so you have a reasonably high chance of getting a comp pick for Chubb if you keep him and let him walk. So I think that informs things, but on the other hand, he's going to be an old running back off a major injury, so he's not going to sign for very much money. I mean, we just saw how much Derrick Henry barely got paid last year, so I just don't think, and he was healthy, so I don't think Chubb's getting that much, so it's only a small factor. And, you know, he's just coming off this injury. I think it's an unknown. I thought for Dallas, like, well, you know, your season is kind of on the brink here. It's sort of a Hail Mary for you. But no, I don't think a third or a fourth. Let's call it a fifth or worse would be my guess.
Seth, it's been interesting. We tried to talk about the Miles conversation a week ago, got shouted down. All of a sudden, they lose to Sean Watson, who wasn't any good in the first place. And now all of a sudden, people are having this conversation about Miles and trade value. I'm team, don't do it. I don't know where JP stands on it officially yet. But I'm just curious, like, in terms of the math of this, people keep throwing out two first-round picks. In like, generic, why are two generic first-round picks hypothetically worth, or are they the reigning defensive player of the year?
So what, like, it's a really hard conversation. It's a really hard question because elite player, and so are we saying, and he's already, he's an elite player. He would be coming to a team extremely cheap, right? So you have him, his money's been converted into bonuses, so you're talking about a player on getting 2.5 years of Myles Garrett at a really cheap price. I'm thinking through it as I talk here, so bear with me. He's older. He's 28. He'll turn 29 this year, but that's not crazy old. Two first-round picks for Garrett. Certainly interesting. Normally the hang-up, when we have this conversation, because normally the hang-up is, well, you're paying the picks for the right to pay the player market value. But that is, and that's why I think so often I would never want to do that. I would never want to give two ones for a player that you have to give a new contract to. Can you just get 2.5 years of Myles Garrett for 2 ones and you're an elite team? It's interesting. It's really hard. I'll say this. Let me say this for everyone: should be on the table for Cleveland. Every player should be up for trade. I mean, there's just no sense if you're where the Browns are in saying that anyone is completely is untouchable.
So then you think it's going to be a rebuild here?
2024.
I like that you laughed at that, because Nick has been calling it a retooling, almost a mini rebuild of sorts. I like that you laughed as loud as you did to that.
Listen, there's only one good thing about being as bad as the Browns have been, which is that you can focus solely on the future. And there's two ways you could do that. You can trade assets that can help another team now into assets that can help you in the future. And it can means you can take like a scarce resource, which is playing time, and give it to players who you hope to develop and see what you have in them. I mean, other than that, losing is bad. But like, if you're going to already be losing, you found out early enough, so you can maybe take advantage of that. They obviously made the Cooper move, and that was one benefit coming from that.
We got Seth Walder here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, ESPN sports analytics writer, talking about the state of the Cleveland Browns here. So when it comes to moving on from Deshaun, obviously there's you can pay somebody to try and take on that salary, and that costs a lot of picks. There is you can just have him next year inactive. There is the door number three, which is you bring him back, but maybe you have competition, or maybe you have somebody where the competition is stacked in favor of. What's the best path forward, financially and football speaking, for the Browns with Deshaun?
I would consider him a sunk cost. You don't have a quarterback on this team for 2025 right now, and you should be operating like that. So that means going, whether that's through trade, free agency, or the most likely scenario, the draft, you should be operating like, we don't have a quarterback, we have to go get a quarterback. Watson, if you feel like objective, in a world where, like, not considering people, right, and I don't know how this would go over, but like, Watson could function as a two, maybe, and that is maybe an answer for you as a backup. If you're starting with a rookie quarterback, you know, maybe you don't feel like you're a contender. Like, maybe that's fine as a two. If you were like a Super Bowl contender, I don't know if you would want him to be in that spot, but it's just going to be hard to, I mean, you're going to have to give picks if you want to trade Deshaun Watson. And so that could happen. It's not infeasible there, but I sort of doubt it. I think, like, we saw the Browns do that years ago with Brock Osweiler. I'm not sure someone's going to want to do that with Watson, or maybe they would cut him if they did that. But the bottom line is you have to operate. Like the idea of him being in a competition, no, I think you should just – he's not your quarterback is what I would do.
All right, Seth, this is the hard one. Is it Stefanski or is it Barry or is it both that don't make it to the end of the season or at the end of the season are out of their job?
I'll say they both survive. I think it's a very unusual situation in Cleveland, like with the quarterback. And I mean, like the Browns, if you look over the years, they have had in previous seasons, like in the Barry era, you could look at the Browns for a long time and say this was a very good roster. I think we did an exercise like a few years back where we ranked the rosters outside of quarterbacks, and I think I had Cleveland at one, talking like a few years ago, and like so it's hard to criticize in that way. But I also say, like, when it comes to coaches, GMs, and whether they keep their jobs, I mean, if this is like unlike football, right, where we sort of like try and logic it out, we're talking about the salary cap, talking about like which team is better than this team. What does it come down to here? It's just the whim of an owner, and that is just a different thing altogether when we're trying to predict. It's like in college football, we spend all this time trying to predict the selection committee, right? It's so much harder because we're trying to predict humans, and that's like at least there's some logic here. In the case of owners, we're talking about just one person and his choice. We saw that with the Jets a couple weeks ago. I would not have predicted that what was going to happen then. And so it's really hard to tell.
Seth, Kansas City looking pretty good. Last undefeated team in football. Mahomes hasn't even played that well, or at least played up to his standard yet. The defense is dominant. When you look kind of across the NFL, what team, or is there a team or teams that you think has the best chance to prevent the first Super Bowl winning three-peat in history by stopping the Chiefs?
I think Baltimore, I mean... Lamar Jackson was unbelievable last night, and I do think Baltimore is maybe the best team to do it. I think Detroit absolutely could do it. I think Buffalo, Green Bay, I wouldn't rule out San Francisco. I think all of those teams are in play. Kansas City, like you said, they are undefeated. Mahomes has not played that well. I think, yeah, there is a sense of, hey, he didn't play that well last year, and then all of a sudden, like, you turn it on, they go to the Super Bowl run. I don't know. I look at it kind of the other way. I think it's, like, more alarming that they have not played that well, and so I just think that we have them as the Super Bowl favorite, the Chiefs, but with a 17% chance. I mean, that means 83% of the time somebody that's not the Chiefs is winning the Super Bowl. So I would consider myself fairly bearish on Kansas City right now, just because of that.
Seth, I got to be honest with you. I've been striking out at the lottery. Haven't won it yet. Been trying for 20 years. Can you give me any magical numbers here to get through? Because I think that's more likely than the Browns figuring it out at any point in the near future.
Just make sure you get 42 in there, all right? That's my favorite number. That'll win you the lottery, whatever, this week, for sure.
All right, carry the 42. All right, buddy, great stuff. We appreciate you, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
ESPN analytics writer Seth Walder on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He gave us a lot to talk about, including how to look at where the Browns are and where they're going. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.